And now, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully this works, ladies and gentlemen. A lot to talk about. Episode 201. It's been a long time since I put on this mic and this headset. It just works because it's stupid. Laptop always cooled down. City, my home state. Fortunately, I could not attend. It has a lot to do with a little bit of financial, a little bit of just everything that has gone on over the past couple of weeks. Went to New Orleans, and then now, as always, post any WrestleMania, it's time to save, right? So, with that being said, it's all about last night, the controversy between Simone. And I can't even say the guy, you know, according to Ariel Helwani, who spoke to Nick Lembo, this is Nick Lembo's quote: "You can't be saved by the bell, even in the final round at the end of the fight. And yes, after the bell, Merab lost conscious, so the loss is TKO due to technical sub. He lost anyway via decision, but that's not the point. The point is the guy was in a deep, deep reverse guillotine choke. And for whatever reason, the ref thought that he was conscious. The guy gave a thumbs up, but at the end of the fight, he was out. He was out for the count, ladies and gentlemen. So, with that being said, the fight should have been called off, or should be ruled a technical sub. It should not have been gone to a decision. So, that was real interesting there, to say the least. Then, of course, the controversy last night between Barbosa and Lee. You know, Barbosa's cut, was it really that bad? Just let him go a couple more minutes, and at least it could have gone to decision. Let him go down with a fight. But doctors in New Jersey decided that he cannot continue. His cut was an obstruction to him and being able to compete at a high level. And therefore, boom, the fight was stopped. Very excited about Frankie Edgar, and Frankie Edgar is next in line. I believe they said, I don't know if it's been official yet. I did not see the press conference. I did go to sleep and fall asleep. I was dozing off. But Frankie Edgar should get the winner of TC, Brian Ortega, and Max Holloway. Max Holloway, who became the undisputed featherweight champ, and he was going to square off against Khabib on short notice from Brooklyn, but then he missed the weight, and at the last second, the Contada came in, and Khabib still won that fight. But hopefully now, a healthy Max Holloway at his natural weight of 145 with a full fight cap, TC off an impressive win, and yeah, he impressed me, man. He's bilingual Spanish. He was defending his own in the conference, and he does it rightfully so. Brian Ortega, the number one contender for the featherweight championship of the world. Corey Anderson looked good last night. I saw that fight. I was going back and forth with the Met game. So him against Patrick Cummings. Patrick Cummings, a great wrestler from Penn State, but the announcer said it best. When you're wrestling at a high school or a collegiate level, it's a lot different than wrestling for MMA, because when it's wrestling for MMA, it's not just about the single shot, the double shot, being able to take the guy down, being able to put your weight on him. But then what do you do after that? Are you going to pass guard? Are you going to go into attack mode, go into submission? And that's the transition that, you know, for the most part, you know, most people get it, but some people, it's very challenging for them to say, okay, I got the guy down, now what? Do I work from scarf? Do I work from reverse scarf? Do I work from mount, side mount? What do I attack? Kimura, key lock? Do I go for a reverse guillotine? Do I go for an armbar? Do I set up for the triangle? Do I set up for the reverse triangle? So there's a lot of questions and a big difference between wrestling at the high school, collegiate, or even the Olympic level, and then transition that into MMA, because you then there's the element of striking from the bottom, striking from the top, striking with elbows, striking with knees. So there's a whole gamut, a whole different things of what's going on there. A lot. As I just mentioned last night, it became official that it will be TC Brian Ortega against Max Holloway, and the main event will still be Stipe Miocic going one-on-one against Daniel Cormier. Daniel Cormier, he put out a list, kind of like Cody Rhodes wants to put out a list of his last couple of fights. I believe he wants to definitely get Stipe. I think win or loss, he would like Brock Lesnar, and I think he has one or two opponents. Oh, I think John Jones. I think those are going to be his last three fights, and I may be missing one person. Now, the whole controversy thing between Brock Lesnar is he is still a WWE superstar, but with his new contract, he's on a pay-per-appearance basis, and his new agreement allows him to entertain the idea of fighting in the octagon. Now, as of this moment, remember, he got a one-year suspension for an illegal substance for his fight at UFC 200, which was overturned from a win to a no contest. So with that being said, and he had served up to 6 months. So if he's really serious about coming back to mixed martial arts, what he has to do is declare to the USADA, the anti-doping agency, yes, I want to return to MMA. Okay, so now the clock starts for him to serve that suspension. So now I actually did the math, right? So if he declares in May, right? Or let's say even this month, if he somehow secretly declared this month that yes, that this is the month that he is going to declare that he's going to return to MMA. So you have May, June, July, August, September, October. October. If he declares today, April 22nd, Earth Day, that he is going to once again get back into MMA, October will be the earliest he'd be able to fight. Or even if he declares next month in May, I would say he would declare November. I think the goal of Dana White, and hey, if I was a promoter, I would try to put Brock Lesnar on the Madison Square Garden card in November or to close 2018. I think it's better suited for New York, the world's most famous arena. He already has the experience here from his wrestling days. So I think the most logical move is for him to declare in April now, serve the 6 months up until October, right? And then if you do the event late in November, per se, alleged, hypothetically, right, he'd be able to compete on the MSG card, you know, 6 week fight camp. It all depends, but I think it's a great move. I think he should have already declared. I know as of now he has not, but he should declare in April to this month. He'll be done by October, and then in October he can still clock in a full fight camp, full 6 week camp, and hopefully in November we'll see him back in the octagon. Hey, you cannot deny he's probably one of the greatest combat sport human beings of all time, whether you're talking sports entertainment or whether you're talking about mixed martial arts. The guy is a natural freak of nature of an athlete. He's decorated with his background in NCAA in wrestling, and of course what he has accomplished in pro wrestling and what he has accomplished in MMA, winning the championship in his third, fourth fight. It's unheard of. Unheard of. Absolutely unheard of. So that's the Brock Lesnar situation, and that's it for better clarification, because a lot of people don't know the entire situation. So that is what's going on there. Sucks about Santiago Ponzinibbio. He's out of the 519 Chile main event against Usman, and also Shogun versus Odemir is also officially off the Chile card, according to Ariel Helwani. I just can't stand it, man, when all these great fights occur. Like, for example, Khabib and Ferguson, they tried to book that fight so many times, and it was a great fight, and then for whatever reason, injuries occur. In the last one, he tripped over a wire, and he tore his ACL, whatever he did. It's just crazy, crazy. So, that is what's going on in as of last night in Atlantic City. So, and of course, Matt Serra is in the Hall of Fame. A lot of people say, yeah, it's one of Dana's buddies. Yeah, it is Dana's, one of Dana's buddies. But Matt Serra won that's one of my favorite seasons, the comeback season of The Ultimate Fighter. Of course, he shocked the world and he beat GSP and became the welterweight champion. Of course, he lost the return bout. But like he said last night in his interview with Heidi, that it was his Rocky moment, his unofficial Rocky moment, and he was able to be a gentleman of GSP's high caliber at that present time back in 07, I believe it was, or it was at least 10 years ago, to say the least. Of course, also, Greg Hardy is going to debut on the Contender Series card June 12th. He has about 3 amateur MMA bouts, and he's going to be part of Dana White's Contender Series, so that's very interesting, to say the least. Well, Greg Hardy, former NFL controversial player. So, we'll see what happens. We will see what happens there. So, you have that. And, of course, added to the card is, to the amazing card, UFC 226 in Las Vegas, part of International Fight Week, is Ngannou versus Derek Lewis. Ngannou, who has amazing power and knocked the hell out of Overeem. And let's face it, he was a couple of strikes away from knocking out Stipe Miocic, but Stipe Miocic showed that he is a complete mixed martial artist. And what I mean by complete mixed martial artist is being able to understand the wrestling, understand the jiu-jitsu, understand the Muay Thai, understand the striking, and be able to combine all of the elements of martial arts and be the best mixed martial artist possible. Ngannou was exposed, and you know, the tape, the film, whatever, YouTube, whatever you want to call it, is on Ngannou. What he has to do now, he has amazing power, amazing ability. Yes, he was homeless. Yet Joe Rogan hyped this guy up like you never believed. But he's exposed, lack of wrestling, no takedown defense. He was down in the fight against Stipe Miocic, and he wasn't doing basic things that I would know as a white belt, a white belt for life in jiu-jitsu. He wasn't shrimping. He wasn't bumping. He was not doing any of that. I almost felt that he just trained for 6 weeks in striking and kind of ignored jiu-jitsu and ignored being able to escape. Big mistake by Ngannou. And for him to get another title shot, not just he has to beat Derek Lewis, but he has to convince the world that he has improved as a mixed martial artist. And for Derek Lewis, we all know the beast, whatever his name is, the beast 25-8, whatever you want to call it. He talks a lot of smack, but he hits hard as well. But, you know, it's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be a barn burner between Ngannou and Derek Lewis. So it should be interesting, to say the least, right then and there. So it's going to be a great fight. I'm really excited about this fight. I want to see the maturation process of Ngannou, and I want to see Derek Lewis where he's at. So we'll see that. And the last thing, and before I cut off, and I know I try to do the MMA episodes a little bit short, just enough so that you guys could get a little flavor of what's going on. And of course, I got to mix it up for those who don't like audio, who just like video. Of course, you have Whitaker Romero. You know, Whitaker had pull out of the last card, this and that. But finally, we're going to get for the World Middleweight Championship, Whitaker against Romero 2 for the interim welterweight championship, Dos Anjos against Colby Covington. If you follow him on social media, he is hilarious. He calls everyone virgin, and he's with all these girls. And then, of course, you have the Second City Saint, whatever he wants to call himself. We have a welterweight bout, a special attraction match, CM Punk and his second ever MMA bout against Mike Jackson. Both men are 0-1. I believe Mike Jackson lost to Mickey Gall in his UFC debut. So did CM Punk, so I guess someone's going to get a revenge fight. And for CM Punk, this is a very interesting time, because if he loses, but if he shows drastic improvement, I think he'll be a novelty and he'll be able to fight again in the UFC. But I really do feel that if he looks like the way he did against Mickey Gall and looks lost like a deer in headlights, I could almost guarantee you that Dana White will not have CM Punk on a main card ever again. He'll probably never fight in the UFC ever again. So he has to show drastic improvement. This guy, he's smart. He saved his money from his days in pro wrestling. But now it's a matter of putting your money where your mouth is and learning from your mistakes and be able to go back to root the sport and being able to, you know, in that fight, he looked clueless in every way, shape, or form, whether it's his striking ability, whether it's his defense when taken down. Mickey Gall was passing at will. So now it's a matter of, has CM Punk matured? Similar to Ngannou. But at least Ngannou, he's a freaking freak of nature, world-renowned striker. CM Punk, you know, he's known for pro wrestling almost his whole life. Did a little kempo, did a little bit of jiu-jitsu here and there, but nothing serious. So it's a matter of what is CM Punk going to do in this bout? Is he going to improve as a mixed martial artist? And if not, he's always welcome. He is probably one of the missed wrestlers in pro wrestling. But if he takes this serious, will he or can he, I don't know, can he be a mixed martial artist? Can you take him serious? Can he be a top 10 contender? Trust me, from what I saw against Mickey Gall, definitely not. But he would have to show massive improvement even in a loss. His moral victory would be to at least, first of all, last a round. And then second of all, being able to show that he could last more than a round. If he goes to the decision and loses, that is a moral victory in itself. But he has to show drastic improvement. And for Whitaker Romero too, if healthy, Romero, as you know, amazing striker, amazing wrestling. We all know his pedigree from Cuba, but Whitaker, the Australian, he's a well-rounded mixed martial artist. The question is, from what I remember in the first fight, like I said, I'm just doing this off the cusp of my head. I didn't do any research in this episode at all. So from what I remember, he was able to stuff all his takedowns and he was able to somehow, keep at a distance. Cause you know, you have to have a certain distance for shooting. And he was able to do that and he was able to survive the 5 rounds and Romero just had no answer for him. So I think you would have to, the way to neutralize a wrestler is either through striking or if he respects, your takedown ability, then all game. But I think the number one thing is to neutralize, either take him down or being able to counter. Counter is the number one thing. Yeah, you can, even if he does take you down, then what do you do to counter? So the way you do that is to, keep the game on top. Keep it standing. But even if it takes you down, then I think the camp should be focused on A, keeping it on top, but also being able to, even if you go for the takedown, or being able to defend. That is the most important thing when you go up against a world-renowned wrestler like him. You know what I mean? So that's what it's all about. It's all about being able to defend the wrestler and get out of jams and bumping, shrimping, the things that Nagano did not do in his fight against Stipe Miocic. That is what it's all about. If I was in that position, right, and knowing that the guy across me is a Olympian wrestler, right? Now I wouldn't respect it too much to the fact that, oh, I'm not going to get taken down and not train wrestling at all. What I would do is keep it standing and even if it work drills and drill over and over and over and drill over again. Drill the fact that I may get taken down and what do I do at that point? So what I would do is I bring in other guys who are wrestling experts, and what I would do is being able to work the counter, being able to let's say overhook, being able to bump the arm, get the hook, and being able to go from being on the bottom to the top, and being able to work that game, being able to shrimp, being able to bump, being able to do all that. That's what I would do if I was in Whitaker's position for the sequel in Chicago, June 9th. But that's what I would do. And for Romero, he knows his mistakes. He has to be able to take him down and not just take him down. What do you do after that? Don't lay on him for 5 rounds, but be able to work on your submission game. Not just about striking, not just about holding position for 25 minutes, but work on your jiu-jitsu, working your submission game. Not, like I said, a lot of wrestlers have challenges being able to make that transition from wrestling for the sport and then also wrestling for MMA, which is two different things. He has to be able to make that transition into MMA, which he has. He has done a great job, but he looks to continue to work on his submission. So, that's my 2 cents. Alright, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully this saves right now. A lot happened in MMA, and we'll see what happens. May 12th, we have Raquel Pennington against Amanda Nunez. Vamos a ver, gente.